Okay, we are rolling. So I was going to start by asking you about Thursday. I know you don't want to get involved politically, but it's a big deal when the vice president's going to be in your city, right?
No, it's always a big deal. Anytime a president or vice president comes to town, I think every time that we've had that in my life, even ex-presidents, it's a big deal. So I'm excited to have Vice President Pence in Tulsa. It's going to be a big deal for our city.
Yeah, it's one of those things we were telling people this morning, obviously how they can get in and what it might look like, but it's also going to be a traffic situation. Is there anything that they do, like I know they come early to venues. Do they have to do any kind of scouting around the city as far as routes and that sort of thing?
I know about this. Generally, the security work they're doing, but I'm certainly not going to talk about it.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So last week, we had an inter-city visit to Columbus. This is something that the Chamber of Commerce organizes every year, and we've gone to places like Nashville and Louisville, Charlotte, North Carolina. Pittsburgh was a big one because that was the year when we saw everything they were doing along the river corridor and just decided, you know what, we're sick of talking about putting water in the river. We're going to put our nose to the grindstone here and make it happen. And that's what led to the Vision Tulsa proposal around the low water dams and the Arkansas River ultimately passing. And so it is a chance to go and see what other cities are doing well. Especially if it's a city that has successfully grappled with maybe a particular challenge that we're dealing with in Tulsa, and you can kind of look forward in time and try to learn from the mistakes they made and the successes they had. And Columbus was a really great opportunity for that, at least for me as mayor on a couple of fronts. One, they have a historically African-American commercial district there called the King Lincoln District that they've really successfully revitalized in the last couple of decades, but done it in a way where you don't have gentrification run amok that has just erased the quality and character of the neighborhood. And so it's great to see how they did that, the types of infrastructure they put in, type of economic development they incentivized that could potentially help us do that in the Greenwood area over the next couple of decades would be my hope. And I would say the other probably two big takeaways. One, they've just been very smart in things that they do from an infrastructure standpoint that don't cost a lot of money but have a really outsized impact on quality of life. So whether that's the width of their sidewalks or how they plant trees around the city, what they do with their overpasses over highways, so they have a lot of greenery on them so that it's something nice to walk over, not kind of this desolate concrete landscape that you see all too often in Tulsa. So that was another one. And then I'd say the third big takeaway, which would be the primary one, is just the impact that having world-class higher education on a massive publicly funded scale can do for a city. And admittedly, we're not going to install Ohio State, a 100,000 person campus in Tulsa. That's not going to happen. But it's a kind of macro example of what we might be able to do by expanding the work that OSU or OU or potentially even University of Tulsa do here in Tulsa to draw more research dollars to Tulsa and more students. It creates that pipeline of students that then can fuel growing businesses in your community. That's one of the great challenges that every city faces right now, and Tulsa is no exception. So if you want to grow great businesses, you have to be producing the talent every single year that allows those businesses to grow. And the cities that have those talent pipelines are the cities that are going to thrive, and the ones that don't are the ones that are going to stagnate and slowly lose out to the cities that do.
That's something.
So I'd say those are probably the three big takeaways from our inner city visit to Columbus. And as always, I always come back with a whole lot of notes and big things and small things for us to focus on, but it was a great opportunity.
I recall a time back when you were a counselor and we had talked about one of your trips to Dallas to look at something that had been going on down there. And I think you went with some other counselors to get ideas. That's something that's kind of a common practice around here. And it's, I mean, why not, right? You go see what things work well in other areas and how you could possibly adapt and use it in Tulsa.
It's incredibly valuable. I mean, if you're in business, you're always doing market research. You're always checking out the competition to see who's doing what well and trying to improve upon that. That's just the nature of a competitive landscape. And yet what I've found is a lot of cities don't do these types of trips. In fact, the folks in Columbus were surprised to hear about these types of trips and were surprised that Tulsa does these on an annual basis. So I was pleased that we do it. And there's been so many of these. We went to Cincinnati a couple years ago. And that was another example. Cincinnati is the city itself is only, it's really right around the same size as Tulsa from a population standpoint. Yet they've got an NFL team, Major League Baseball team, really a thriving downtown with a streetcar system. And when I was there, I thought, how on earth do they afford all this stuff? Well, their metropolitan area is 10 times the size of Tulsa's, and that's how they afford it. And that really opened my eyes to the fact that when we talk about having the Tulsa metropolitan area be what we need to be advancing, that's not just PC, make nice with the suburbs kind of talk. That's economic reality in the 21st century. So it's always good to go to these other cities and see what they're doing and apply it to what we're doing in Tulsa, and it helps us move towards being the best city that we can be.
And now that we've crossed over the 1 month opening part of Gathering Place, I haven't been back in a couple of weeks, but do you think it's starting to settle in? People are starting to treat it as like, okay, it's part of the routine now, and it's not just the like the massive crowds for the got to go see it for the first time sort of thing?
Well, no, I think you're going to continue to see massive crowds, because for every person I talk to who's been there and just been blown away by it, I talked to somebody else who said, yeah, I've been waiting for the crowds to die down, and now I'm going to go. So even though we had 300,000 people through there in the first month, I think we're going to continue to see substantially sized crowds of folks from all around the world, by the way, going there. And you know what I've loved about talking to people who've been through, and it doesn't matter if they're from Tulsa or from out of state who happen to be visiting and I find out that they took the time to go by it. The things that stand out to them over and over again, it's the same reaction I had. One is just awe at the scale of it and the eye for detail. The next is gratitude that people would do this for our community. And the third that I hear from people over and over again, and I've noticed it too, is just that you see people from all walks of life having a great time together. And there's only so many things out there that afford that opportunity. And so I feel like it is working the way that the donors were hoping that it would. It is bringing people together and giving them a world-class experience right here in Tulsa.
I experienced that same thing just the first day of walking. I was there for 12 hours on the 8th last month, and wow, it was a long day, but I just couldn't leave. I was having so much fun enjoying everything, but you're right. I saw so many people from all parts of town, and everybody had a smile on their face, and everybody was happy, so it's cool that it's working that way. I too, have exactly. heard people say, I'm going to go when it's slower, but I keep telling them, don't do that, because it's so... Like even on, it's not going to be as busy as opening day. And on opening day, I never felt crowded. It's big enough. It holds people very well. It's not like it's cramped. So I encourage
exactly.
people to go.
One of the brilliant things about its design is there are things that pull you into every corner of that park. And when you're in each area of it, the topography is such that you don't see the other areas. And so you can be in there with 5,000-10,000 people and it doesn't feel like it. I've never been in there where it's felt crowded, maybe with the exception when my kids insist on playing on that playground and it's like ants coming out of a nest, all the kids on that thing. But everywhere else in the park, it's one of the really brilliant ways it's designed. You don't feel crowded. And I will say, I think it says a lot I've heard some people around town, you know, giving advice like, I tell you, the way to do the gathering place is to go when it's pouring rain, because then there's not a lot of people. And you know it's got to be great if the advice people are giving is that you need to be out there in the pouring rain. That's the best time to see it.
That's awesome. We were talking Friday about a general, I guess not a need, but just something we thought would be cool in Tulsa is an outdoor music venue of grander scale than we already have in any, like we have One Oak Field with the Jack White thing was kind of a, might be the start of a new thing, or Gathering Place, Quick Trip, Great Lawn, you know, I don't know how many can hold, but it's a cool option. So do you think that those are things that we're looking for in the future in Tulsa?
Yes, we've discussed that on a couple of different fronts in the past, and you're right. I mean, the One Oak Field, when it was originally constructed, the goal of that was not just, hey, we want to have a ballpark. It's that we want to have an outdoor venue that is programmable 365 days a year. And yes, we can use it as a ballpark, but just like the BOK Center, it's not used strictly for concerts. It's used for a lot of other events as well. And One Oak Field is intended to have that same kind of utility. Jack White concert really is the outlier as far as concerts we've been able to get there, but that's one. The Quick Trip, you're right, the Quick Trip Great Lawn is also supposed to be another outdoor concert venue. And then we've also, there's been a lot of talk about if we're able to land a Major League Soccer team here in town, one of the uses of a stadium that could be built would be as an outdoor concert arena as well. So I think there's a lot of people discussing different options there, but we've never, I think, built that really large-scale outdoor concert arena. And the reality is, I mean, I think that we've proven in Tulsa the demand. You know, the BOK Center now in two of the last 3 years has been named Arena of the Year. And just this couple weeks ago, it was named Arena of the Year. It's routinely one of the top 10 concert venues in the world. And so there's a clear market demand for concerts and things like that. But, you know, we continue to kind of poke around and try and identify what the right scale and size of a venue like that might be. And can we use something that we already have, or is it something that we need to think about in a future funding program, asking the voters to consider constructing?
Right. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to throw in today?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, GT. We'll talk to you
soon. All right. Thank you.
Bye.